Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Once we have the science that says so much of our suffering comes from buried emotions, and that we have KI, you can now capitalize on your suffering. And that's not something I'd ever would have said before KI, because you can't capitalize on your suffering if you're just sitting there letting it come and go. Because there's just not enough insight as to why it's there to capitalize on it. And I think that's maybe one of the main criticisms of the Eastern practices, is that they don't have the skills to give you the insight as to why this suffering keeps coming. If I just rest here as awareness and watch and notice and allow, I'm actually robbing myself of insight that would come to me if I could capitalize on what I'm seeing to make the unconscious conscious. Let me just give you an example. Instead of watching a story or an identity that likes to come and go, instead of just watching it come and go and feeling and allowing it, if you were to go right to the unconscious when it comes up, you would find the reason that's there is it keeps me safe from these buried emotions. You would find the conditioning that produces this identity to keep you safe and get you love. And because you would discover the roots of it in the body, that's what it is, you have a chance to not only in that moment get that suffering to go away, but you're doing the kind of practice where that at some point is going to stop arising. Because you're making conscious the conditioning in the body that produces that identity for safety and love. If you weren't making conscious the root in the body, that would be different. I couldn't say to you, you can end your suffering. And that's why I never said it as a teacher, because I had to be honest. Without getting to the root of your suffering, I didn't know how to help you end your suffering. I hadn't ended mine. If you guys are paying attention there through the years, I had chronic nerve pain, and that's a really good example, by the way, of why Eastern practices almost inevitably produce these experiences for people with persistent body contraction and sometimes chronic pain, because of how they just consistently don't get to repression, like meditation, mindfulness, and other non-dual pointers and practices. Because, well, repression doesn't arise that simple. So, you know, if you're just resting here for years and you keep seeing that same story come and go that I just mentioned, but you don't know how to get to the repression, like I said, well, then the very witnessing of that identity and the emotions with it kind of brings us to this state of non-embodied presence kind of automatically. Because the repression is just in the body untouched. Even if you sit and watch these stories come and go, because there are roots in the body. So it's like watching, I don't know, it's like looking at a garden and you just keep pulling the weeds up. But you can see that the weeds are rooted in the ground and you can see that they keep coming up. But instead of getting to the roots, you just keep pulling them up. And so they don't go away. They keep coming. But with KI, you get under the ground to make conscious those roots so that those can be, you know, the metaphor breaks down after a while. But once you go underground, now there's no motivation for those weeds to grow, because you're not carrying the fear around and not processing it anymore. You're not avoiding buried emotions when you do KI. And these are just things that people can't know about the work until they do it. This is why I get on podcasts all the time and explain it. There's so many things I want to tell you. I felt inspired to do a podcast to explain how to capitalize on your suffering. But what came up first is I wanted to share about my chronic pain. I sometimes just don't talk about the details because, you know, I've told this story before and who wants to hear it again? But it truly is like a miracle healing. I mean, you know, now it happens fairly common that people come here and KI takes away their chronic pain. But outside of KI, it's really pretty miraculous to tell this story. So I'll tell it with some interesting details today that hopefully will help you capitalize on your suffering. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret that I don't say publicly a lot, which is that when people tell me they're too busy for KI or they've got this going on or their suffering is really bad or they just got a disease, I understand the resistance. I actually don't understand working through it because KI saved my life. And it got straight to the root of very, at times, severe chronic nerve pain. Every day it was helping me in a way that drugs and other yoga and things did not. I mean, I literally saw the formation in my body that carried the, well, it was the spinal stenosis is what the diagnosis was. But I just watched that thing dissolve consistently every day and saw my life change accordingly. And that's all I did was a consistent KI practice to see the two markers. I kept trusting that and trusting that. And I'm telling you, it's a really beautiful, profound process to watch that you finally, because of what you can do with spiritual practice, you can actually watch suffering go away. It's amazing because you trust it. It's like, you know, well, first of all, you trust when you have chronic pain. You know, we talk about self-trust. Trust me, I was in pain. And there was never a doubt about that. And you know how suffering is. It's like we're firmly convicted or firmly invested in it. And I was. And if I can bring this work into my life, or as I did, with such chronic nerve pain, I think that anyone can. And you might say, well, you were motivated because you had nerve pain, but suffering is suffering. I mean, we're not going to get into the game of comparing suffering, are we? Because I don't know where it gets us. I feel that what I've seen is that people are suffering, and there's just a lot of different forms of suffering, like the science says. And we just don't yet understand it as a species, that it all has one root, basically, and that we've now discovered it in KI. Because I think we've just been around spirituality and self-help for so long where nobody has pointed us directly to it that, I don't know, it's like Carl Sagan says, if you've done something for a really long time, denied the truth, if somebody presents it to you, you might not believe it. You might not, it might be right under your nose and you bamboozle yourself. And that's how this feels, because healing and awakening is like right under now our noses. But it just happens to be that we have to go to the unconscious, which we all have in the body, and we just don't have the skill is all it is. That's all it was for me, because I was in pain. I was ready to, you know, to deal with it. I didn't have the skill. And then once I had the skill here, there was just nothing stopping that spine formation to dissolve. The only thing I realized, that the only thing that would stop that would be my own resistance and belief systems. And I was exactly right, because there was a belief system that it's physical. My pain kept coming up in my consciousness because my doctors and my surgeons would try to insist that it was, even though I was starting to read the science, none of which agreed with them. The new science was clearly saying most chronic pain, it was confirming Dr. Sarno by that time, is repression. And so I really got programmed by Western medicine to delay my liberation. But I didn't need any help because I already believed it was physical. And I kept stumbling up on that belief and stopping. But that was it. That and a few other things were the only thing that stopped the dissolving of that very painful structure in my back and spine. It had even come into my respiratory system, so that at night I struggled to breathe and it was hard to sleep at times because I couldn't get breath in through the nose. So yeah, I watched all that healing. And a lot of people don't know that breathing issues, respiratory issues are often the emotional congestion. That's what I call it. It's like a congestion within the system that's emotional, and that you can find it through inquiry, even though it looks like just purely a breathing issue or stomach issues or something. It's amazing, truly, what we're finding here. And the science supports us to do it because, you know, every time we work with someone, there's usually studies out showing that the thing that they're experiencing is coming straight from buried emotions. So it's easy for us then to say, okay, well, here are the buried emotions and here's the path. Because once you have the science, you know, it's good. It feels good to have a teaching out that is, or work out that's getting to the root as science says that it is. Because there's so much suffering. And there's so many things out there. I tried many of them that purport to end suffering, but that don't. Because anything that doesn't get to the root can't make that claim. And I'm not making the claim that we can heal because there are factors involved. I now know that people will come to the work and they'll say things like, I'm too busy to do it. And I have to factor that in to the success of KI because I don't understand how anybody's too busy to be free. But I think what it means is they're not aware that it's resistance, that their life has been created to avoid. And that, you know, some people are just starting to see it, that the overwhelm, the stress, the anxiety that they experience at work in everyday life is buried emotions. And when you first learn about it, that doesn't mean that you're willing to kind of just go straight to the root of suffering on all your forms of suffering. Because we get something out of all that busyness and suffering. We stay safe from the very thing that we've never wanted to feel since we've been kids. Why wouldn't we be busy, too busy for KI? That's what I mean. But I think we have to break through that. You have to, because if you keep saying, I'm too busy, or, well, I got stress, or it's the holidays, when it's repression creating all that, you see how we bamboozle ourselves. Even something like the holidays, I hear that. I'm thinking, well, that's your trauma. You know, that's mom, dad, that's the family. And so that stuff comes up often before December starts for some people, and they don't see it as buried emotions, but the family is there to just mirror back to us our falseness. If you haven't, have you not noticed that yet? I was sharing that about my parents and when they came to visit me at law school. At law school, I had become someone who was a bit more outgoing. I got away from my hometown and came out of the closet. But when my mom and dad came to visit, I just shut down. I couldn't. It was the weirdest experience. And I think I refer to that memory to understand and explain to people how different I am and how introverted I used to be with anger repression and how shut down I was. And even as a teacher, being very quiet and peaceful, people still don't know how much avoidance was there. And then, therefore, how much freedom I have now. It's like I don't even recognize the person who used to suffer. I can't relate to him because all the reasons for the suffering have been seen and transmuted. I mean, I can't say all of them. I'm not trying to make some claim like that. But I look at my life and I don't have pain. And I used to be, my whole life was that. For many years, I don't have psychological and emotional suffering. I don't experience it. If I do, I'll tell you. I almost always do, don't I? But I don't. And that's again because of getting to the unconscious. That's not the awakening experience because I suffered with two diseases and addiction after the awakening. It was the embodiment through and through, and it was emotional repression inquiry that cleared up things about me in relationship. that I didn't even know were operating. And I would have not even, see, this is the, we're not in control of this. If there's, if it would have left it up to me to spot the, all the forms of suffering, I wouldn't have seen them. Because many of the forms of suffering are just how we show up with people in a way that's false, but we can't see it. It's not even telling false stories. It's, we show up energetically false with people, and we have our whole lives. So when that dissolves and you see how much you've been self-protecting from like buried anger or hurt, like that, that kind of transformation is through and through because it's so energetic. I mean, it changes how you respond, which I never knew a spiritual practice or anything that would, if anything, it was just notice it all comes and goes to awareness, whatever your response is. But my response was always this shutdown, this quietness that I would explain away as just who I am, or, you know, spirituality did this to me. It just helped me become very quiet. It was all bullshit. I'd been quiet since I was a kid because I was scared of being myself. And it's just all a big lie that I had to keep living until I got to the root of my suffering. And then I didn't have to live that lie anymore and a lot of other lies. And you talk about just the peace. Like, when I look back, I think, how could I have ever taught that peace is available when we have nervous systems that when we're sitting with each other are demanding more than anything else, safety and love. When we're just sitting with each other and we don't know it because it's so hidden. And yet I was teaching in a way that like didn't show people that as you're just sitting here sort of doing practice or even being the space for someone, that you have a very active unconscious that's doing all that. Like, I didn't understand that people who just show up peacefully, that's conditioning. That's not just, we can't just assume that's the peace of their presence or anything like that, because what we've learned about anger repression now here in KI is that those with anger repression have conditioning that says, I have to be at peace. And that we're often driven to spirituality from that conditioning. And that we find our peace because it's a trauma response. That we're being driven towards it because of this storm that we carry within us. And so chasing peace as an anger repressor is an almost guarantee of more suffering because it ignores the driver. And that's just something I didn't know because nobody set me down and said, well, you know, presence is very peaceful, but you have anger repression, so you're going to get stuck there a long time. And you're not going to know how to get out of that because your system seeks safety. I wish somebody would have said this. And as soon as you find that presence recognition, you're going to want to stop and get love and approval and stay safe because you have repression. But that's exactly what happened. That anger repression drove my realization. Because repression drives everything until it's made conscious. I mean, I don't want to say everything because people take up issue with that, but it's also people who I'm seeing who are not going to the science. Because the science is so full and complete now on this issue of how it creates our suffering and that anger repression is at the top of the list. That to argue about whether I'm saying all disease comes from buried emotions is yet just another way that we stay out of our bodies. Because I think the science is pointing us to our bodies to actually check and see what's going on. And yet we pick it up and we go, well, let's just argue about it instead of finding out whether we're actually driven by what science is saying we are. And that's just us being human. I get it. You know, what do you do when we're driven by the need for safety and love, and yet we say we want freedom? It's like living a double life, really. And that's maybe one of the things that if you haven't done KI, can I tell you a couple of things that we've learned here that I think everybody should know? Even if you're not conscious of it within you, just know that it's happening, I think can be a step towards a more mature path, which is that no matter what we say to each other about what our intentions are, it's the unconscious that drives everything. So it's like gravity. You can throw things up, but they must come down. And it's like with repression, you can go for freedom, but you must have safety and love. And so that's why it's running things and why we sabotage and get on an avoidant path, because our intention is liberation or healing. But the gravity of it is stay safe, get love. And then if we don't understand that we'll just keep doing that. That's why it's such important information, even if you're not conscious of it in your body, because that's where it is, that it's running you anyway as you're talking to yourself and other people about what you want or what you're here doing, even on a spiritual path. And I think if people understood that, they wouldn't just say things. Because I used to just say things without checking into the body skillfully to see, where's that coming from? Is that coming from just this freedom or this clear, pure intention? Or am I being driven by trauma right now? And I learned, unfortunately or fortunately, as long as we have buried emotions, that's what's producing what we're experiencing. So if we're experiencing the intention to be free, well, the buried emotions, they're producing that, but that's part of an unconscious agenda for safety and love. That's what's driving it. The thing that comes to the surface is just part of how we stay safe. We tell ourselves that I'm working towards this and I want freedom, but that blinds us to the fact that we're driven by safety, and it's also distracting, which is what helps blind us and keep us unconscious. Because if we could actually be conscious of what we're doing, it would end. If we saw, it's like hitting yourself on your thumb with a hammer. We create our own suffering, but if we remain unconscious to it, we just keep doing it. If you learn about this, you learn things like we create our own suffering, but we're unconscious to it. You have to like contend with that. You can dismiss it. You can say it's not true, but until you check to see, you can't know. It's an insight that people have and they see it for themselves. And so when I share it, that's what it is. It's an insight. It's not like a worldview, like believe this over that, because if it's happening in you, it's happening. And you just haven't discovered it yet. And that's how I was. I just hadn't discovered that I was sitting there creating chronic pain every day. But I was, and no matter how many times my consciousness produced the thought that I wasn't, or that this pain is physical, even in those moments, my consciousness was just creating pain out of buried anger, and producing thoughts that this is physical so that I could stay safe from the buried anger. But how do you know that when you actually have emotional repression and you're suffering? Because that information isn't available to you when we're just here being in awareness. What I was trying to explain to someone just recently, you know, the holidays coming up, and they were throwing things at me like, well, I've got overwhelmed for this reason, I've got stress, I'm busy. And that's a really good example right there of, as I was saying, how our consciousness is. where it says or produces things from repression, but so cleverly that you can't tell that it is that. There's so many different forms of suffering that come from the same repression and have different names, that it's the mind. It's like jumping from one thing to the other as a way to avoid the fact that it's all coming from one thing. And so it says overwhelm. But when you break that down, that's the system producing a response, because you can't feel and express that buried emotion. Stress is not being able to feel and express what's true. For example, at work, and holding that in and then calling it stress when it's really emotional repression. Anxiety, we have so much science on that, how that's buried anger, but it just doesn't look like it. And we'll just live with the anxiety, some of us, because we're living with the resistance to the buried anger or hurt. We just can't see any of this stuff because the thing that produces it is buried. And once it comes into awareness, we have a vested interest in making sure that we don't see where it comes from. And we do a pretty good job of that, as you can see, of believing that it's really stress or anxiety or pain, and not rage or hurt for mom and dad. But I'm here to tell you, it's mostly rage, hurt, sadness for mom and dad, and stuff that happened that we couldn't feel. I want to inspire hope, because there is hope for people. I know that now. For people who have been suffering for a long time and who can't find the end of that. 10 years ago, there's nothing that I could have said to you other than be with what is, some version of referring back to awareness as the ground. But you were all were listening to me back then, and you were listening to teachers like me, and your suffering kept going. As I said, I did about 14,000 sessions. I just kept seeing people who kept suffering after coming to the Eastern practices, even though for some people, and then the people who the psychological and emotional suffering went away, they got themselves even to a bigger trap, some of them. Because they would come to me, this was especially in the beginning of the development of KI. They became interested, people who were long-term practitioners and who had been around awakening teachings were coming to see me. And it was, I could tell that they were like me, like I had been. Like they had an initial shift, or they'd done some work, and most of the visible, like, you know, emotional, psychological suffering was pretty quiet. And but yet you could tell that they were, why were they there to talk to me? And I later found out what that was all about. But they were curious as to why certain forms of suffering were still hanging around for them. And they would even bring it up, like shame was a common one. Men who had been on a spiritual path, who would have like some sex thing or porn thing on the side that didn't make sense with, you know, compared to their spiritual resume or experiences, you know, this porn addiction or something. But whatever it was, the suffering that they were experiencing wasn't great enough at that time for them to want to do work on buried emotions. They just came by to see what I was doing, really. And that left an imprint in me, because quite a few of them didn't do KI. And then quite a few of them came back with a disease later. And you don't want, that's not the kind of "I told you so" that you want, you know, to tell a friend, "I told you." Because by the time somebody gets the diagnosis, they already realize what happened. You know, people on the spiritual path might be resistant and avoidant, but they're not dumb. And when we get a diagnosis, we know that something, if we have any sort of body consciousness, we know that there's something that we missed. And they did too. And luckily, some of them came back and they became really serious about this practice. See, but that's the sad thing because, well, it's not sad. It's fortunate for them. But it was like me. It had to get really bad for me to want to truly be free. And I know that some people are like that. And that we would have to be handed a diagnosis before we'll ever actually get to the root of suffering. But, you know, that's life, isn't it? What do you do? You can't do anything. That's one thing I've learned, many things from doing work with buried anger, is that the deep peace I'm experiencing is the sense that I don't have to change or fix or save anyone. And my whole life was codependency, where I thought I had to do something for other people's resistance. I don't have to do anything. And that's why I'm free. They get to suffer. They have that right. What right do I have to say, well, you should stop suffering? And here's how you do it. I mean, I do tell you, but I can't, you know, I don't have anything on that, basically. I think that's what's going to happen to you, too, that once we truly end our suffering, we see that a lot of stuff that we were doing was not about ending suffering. Well, I'm doing this 90-day intensive. Maybe you can understand a little bit more now why, because for some people, we're focusing on single issues, like chronic pain, but it could be a porn, but could it also just be like a persistent, like sense of separation in your body or something. You've been on a spiritual path. Anything where you can just focus on something that's very persistent, because that persistent suffering is usually like this treasure where we find the root of suffering active right there. That's what I meant about my chronic pain. The buried anger was so active on a consistent basis for me in the form of chronic pain, the repression was, that I could easily focus on that. And I could see the changes from that by focusing. And there's something about suffering that becomes like a friend where, you know, like I say, we can capitalize on it here because it's coming up for a reason. And once we learn the reason is for safety and to get love, then we start to have the consciousness that can go to the root when we experience the suffering. And that's what changes everything, because by not being conscious of the root, we're just going to keep creating it. It's what I've learned. for good or bad, that's what we've learned here, is we're just going to keep creating suffering until we make the root conscious. So that's what I'm doing in the 90-day program. I'm treating or teaching you how to do that in a mentorship style. So we'll have sessions together where we sit down and go over everything and I show it to you. And when I follow up with you, for 90 days, actually. We have an ongoing relationship. And every month it renews, whether there's more time together. And you'll need it, because if you're serious about this, you'll do what I did. You'll sit there and you'll have some suffering. And you and I will have already started. And you've gotten so much relief. And then your mind will say something like, I can't heal. And that will be like your Achilles heel or something like that. And I'll show you how to capitalize on that. I'm telling you, you can capitalize on your most sabotaging thoughts here if you're skillful, instead of just witnessing and watching and not having any clue as to why you're doing it. If you're interested in the intensive, there's a link in the description there to come and talk to me for free just to see if it's a fit, the one-on-one intensive. I also have another program that I'll tell you about, one-on-one. And then also in that, if you click on that link, you'll see the description of my KI Jumpstarter group. This is also something that I think many people are going to get help from in the future, to get a jump start with KI. if you have a really good understanding, like I'm explaining here, but a practical understanding of what we're doing, and then you have a skillful practice, watch out. That's what I meant. I just watched my suffering dissolve in that. And so we want to mentor people so they can get the results that we've gotten. But we can do it in a group too. So if you don't want to do one-on-one, click on the description and come join my group. Thank you.